League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, it is time to fire it up again. I'm The Boss, David Gow. Next to me, Carla Dawson, the Gloss. And we've got Jose behind the glass. Welcome in, everyone.
How are you guys doing tonight?
You're looking sporty and you're members only back there, Jose.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm just trying to keep up with you, Carla.
Nobody keeps up with the Gloss. She's got some leopard booties on tonight.
And pretty looking... sure you all do not want this sweater that is shedding. So
Nope. We'll leave the sweater on you.
It looks a little
you.
Itchy.
It's not itchy. No? I know. People have said that to me, but it's, you know, it's all about the look. Smooth as silk, Jose. I promise.
Well, she looks great. Jose, you look great.
I got a haircut finally.
Yes.
That's what looks different on you. It's not just the members only. He's got other things happening.
All the ladies in the building have been turning their head at Jose tonight.
Well, yeah, Carla was supposed to be in charge of my online dating, and I haven't heard anything. So
not much action.
I'm interviewing candidates. I can't let it just anyone by.
She's picky on your behalf.
And I'm a tough customer.
All right, the NFL couldn't have had it any better, right? They got the top four teams in Conference Championship Sunday.
Oh, the football gods were a-smiling on this weekend.
Indisputable top four teams. The old quarterbacks and the young quarterbacks, the veteran coaches and the newbies, all was well. Two games that went into overtime, and if good plays, great coaching, and all that wasn't enough, they even got to throw in some nudity. There was the Michael Thomas bottom exposure.
There's a crack in the armor in New Orleans.
There was a crack in the armor. Jose, please, no show and tell here. We all know what that is. We all know what... Jose,
keep
your pants on.
At least I didn't get crickets this time.
Yes. I'm going to Superdome shop right now. We don't want anything that I can see through there.
Oh, shit.
He's got all the sound effects. All right, despite all that, despite the nudity on the field, we're going to talk... Today, everybody's talking today about two rules. One is, of course, the overtime rule that enabled Tom Brady to finish off a game without Patrick Mahomes getting to respond. And then the other was the infamous non-call, the ugly, ugly call that ended the Saints season.
The pass interference plus helmet-to-helmet hit on Tommy Lee Lewis.
Yes. Amazing, wow. Really, when you look back on it. Saints back-to-back years of devastating losses against the Vikings last year and against this year. It's just a tough, tough end of the season for the Saints. But when we come back, we'll unpack all the games, and we will get the Gloss's opinion on what should have really happened yesterday. You're listening to SB Nation Radio.
Birthdays, holidays, anniversaries, whatever the occasion is, Gifting Map has you covered. Visit GiftingMap.com for great gifts. That's GiftingMap.com, your map to great gifting. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, when we look at these two games, I want to start with the New England game, the game against the Chiefs, outstanding game. And, of course, everybody remembers what happened there in the fourth quarter, the back and forth and the overtime. But I want to go back to that first half because... To me, that was the best moment of Bill Belichick. There he was. He shut down that Chiefs offense, the highfalutin offense. He really shut it down for most of the first half with a scheme. He didn't have that many great, talented players on defense. He did it on scheme. Very impressive.
It was classic Belichick. I mean, one of his best coach games. I mean, it's hard to pick them because they're all very well coached. But he didn't have to make any adjustments at the half. He really, it was unbelievable what he did. Now, I just wonder at this point on a Monday night, are we enlightening any listeners since everything has been talked about ad nauseum. And hey, good for the NFL. They've got us talking. But those were some phenomenal games. And to see classic Belichick, because honestly, and I'd love to get your opinion, David, did you think Brady had the game of his life, or did Belichick scheme the game of his life?
First half, I have to give Belichick incredible credit for the scheming. Obviously, second half, Andy Reid had made some adjustments, and Reid was able to bust up that tight man coverage.
Which I knew he would do. He's brilliant.
Credit Reid. And we're talking about two of the greatest minds in the NFL right now. And Reid adjusted, and you could see the whole tenor of the second half was very different. Mahomes got his mojo back. He was able to hit some deep balls. Things were going very well. It was a different game in the second half. Brady, actually, in the first half, looked uncharacteristically odd. I mean, that interception that he threw when he was
in the end zone,
the play action where he was throwing it to Gronk, but it was picked off by Ragland. That was really a rookie mistake. You don't do that on short. You're in the end zone. He gave away 3 points. And, you know, I understand the decision to throw that ball. I think you could make the decision, throw it up high, give it to Gronk in the back of the end zone. But the pass was so short, so low, it was a pick. It was just a bad call. He should have just thrown it out of the end zone.
That was a crazy moment. And that was just the first of really what were three picks on Brady on the day.
Yep.
And the third one obviously didn't count because it was negated by that neutral zone infraction at the end, which could have won the game for the Chiefs. Let's not even go there. But this was not Brady's finest moment. Two picks on the day. Really, three, but credited with two. So to me, Belichick's plan and his scheme and how that defense for the Patriots showed up was huge. And again, that's Belichick.
I mean, Brady, if you take out his last two drives, which is sort of silly to say because they were big drives, but really he was outstanding then, but he struggled at different points in the game and was inconsistent. The thing I would also say about that Patriot offense is so striking to me and has really stood out all in the postseason here is that offensive line has been outstanding. One, Brady's gotten a ton of time, and two, his backs are getting great holes, and the running game for them has been outstanding. I mean, that was a big lever. They got the time of possession that they were able to take over the Chiefs, but I give credit to that offensive line.
Oh, the offensive line was playing lights out. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, here's we're dissecting the Patriots, and rightfully so. They are the victors in this situation. But I want to credit the Chiefs, and if you're a Chiefs fan, it stings. Yesterday stings because the strength of your team, your offense, never got a chance to do, and they never got to take the field in overtime.
You're upset about the overtime rule.
I hate the overtime rule.
Okay.
But here's what I'm going to say. Chief fans, put your chin up after you get over yesterday, which was tough, because look at these numbers, okay? So time of possession, New England 44 minutes, basically, versus Patriots. Yeah, New England 44 versus Kansas City 21 minutes. I mean, they have more than doubled the time of possession.
Yep.
You look at first downs, 36 for New England versus 18 for Kansas City. Total offense, you're going to just die with this one, 524 yards versus 290. And Kansas City still forced overtime. I'm feeling really good about that one. I see that my defense could not make a stop. Three third and nines for the Patriots in overtime, and they converted every single time.
Right.
With an exhausted defense on that kind of stage, and they still forced overtime with those numbers. It should have been a blowout. So Kansas City, it's going to be okay. You've got your piece. Well, you've got your pieces on offense.
They've got to get some pieces on defense.
Wow. Yes, they do.
I mean, what was striking to me is late in the game, the Chiefs defense looked tired, right? When Rex Burkhead, of all people,
walks into the end zone,
when he can
unscathed.
I mean, the second to last drive, I think it was a 5-yard touchdown run to run it in from 5 yards in the red zone, which is always tight and always hard to run. And we're not talking about Marshawn Lynch in his heyday. We're talking about Rex Burkhead,
a white running back.
That's an oxymoron.
I know it is. Do you know any other ones? Let's think about it.
There was Craig James a long time ago. I mean, this is really goes back, right?
Pony Express. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I don't know how they've turned Rex Burkhead into a household name, but
because Bill Belichick is a genius.
Well, I guess so.
He can squeeze blood out of a turnip.
Right.
And that's what he's doing.
Right.
I mean, the catches Chris Hogan was making last night.
Yes.
He was a lacrosse player.
Yep.
And that one-handed grab
with
the defender just perfectly covering him, it's just, let me tell you, if you're a Patriot, go buy lottery tickets because you have got, you are eating Lucky Shamrocks. Things are going your way.
Well, no, they even knew what to call on the coin toss.
No.
See, they've got it all
Matthew
figured out.
Matthew Slater, the special teams guy, even knew exactly what to call. And, you know, that's not even the first time because I didn't like it in Super Bowl 51 when the Atlanta, it was here in Houston.
Yes.
The Atlanta Patriots Super Bowl. And who gets it in overtime? It's the Patriots, and I'm thinking, I don't like this. I don't like that a coin toss is going to decide a game of this caliber. And it really is when you are at your conference championship games, AFC, NFC, and at the Super Bowl, you have pretty much culled through the NFL, and you have got the top dogs. Whoever wins that coin toss, for the most part, forget the Saints yesterday, is going to win that game.
Well, in an offensive-centric league, which it has become, mm-hmm. that first drive, if you really believe offenses can score a high percentage of the time, that is a huge advantage to win that toss. But, you know, it's interesting because way, way back when it was a sudden death game, remember they would do the coin toss, and then the first team to score would win. So they have created a little bit more of a barrier to
yes,
the coin.
Yes, by a touchdown wins.
By just a little bit, right. But remember the old days, it was you win the coin toss, you go down, you kick the winning field goal, sudden death, you're in, you've done.
Because you look at yesterday in both games, both of those quarterbacks, all four quarterbacks, both in each game, they were going to be able to have the ability to go down and score. I mean, they were the four top scoring offenses in the NFL. And the coin toss was everything. And now it didn't turn out that way for the Saints. So I have to take that away. They only scored a field goal. And the pressure was on Goff.
That's right. I mean, the thing that I would say about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, I mean, the most notable thing, if you look at what he did that last drive in regulation, when he had 32 seconds
to come and get
the game-tying field goal, he was outstanding. And they moved the ball really, really well. And they had their own kind of momentum. So, yeah, if they could have had a shot to match what Brady did,
I don't have any doubt they're matching.
I have a great deal of confidence. Just as I had confidence that Brady and company were going to go down, I certainly had the same level of confidence, having seen what Mahomes had done in the fourth quarter.
Absolutely. Three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And this is why I say, Chiefs fans, there's a lot of good here. There, you know, you got the bad luck of the draw yesterday, and you do need some pieces on defense. But for Mahomes at 23 years old to come in and do what he did, you know, in that 32 seconds, just look at that last part of the game, let alone the whole fourth quarter.
All right, we've got Alex Gold, who hosts the Gold Standard. He comes on next after us, and he was at the game. He is a rabid Chiefs fan. He's been wearing red for most of this year. So we'll let him lament the Chiefs when he comes on. But I know that, well, we just talked to him, the environment there was electric. And for him, it was a thrill to be there. A game for the ages, and certainly a game the Chiefs will always remember. When we come back, I want to shift gears. I want to talk about that Saints game. I want to talk about the Saints and the Rams. I've already signed the petition, by the way.
I bet you have.
I have signed up. There are over 400,000 of us who are signing a petition to make sure that Roger Goodell puts them all back on the field and finishes the game the way it should be done. And we'll look at the petition. We'll look at what happened at the end. When we come back, you're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
Are you wearing your hat too much to cover that hairline?
Well, yes, I am.
Go to forhims.com/cheer for help. That's forhims.com/cheer. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, when your battery loses its power, you lose your ability to get out, get around, and get things done. When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the SuperStart battery that's an exact fit for your vehicle. Whether it's reliable economy, hard-working premium, or powerful extreme, O'Reilly Auto Parts has a SuperStart battery you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, let's look at that Saints-Rams game, which really couldn't have been more exciting. I want to take away the big non-call for just a minute. We're going to come to that. But the whole of that game was very back and forth. I mean, clearly it looked early on like Jared Goff and the Rams were unsettled by the noise. I mean, that New Orleans Stadium environment was really electric for the Saints. And it was hard for the Rams to execute. Remember, the
Goff couldn't get in a rhythm.
Oh, it was just a really struggle. It was a big struggle for them early. At that point, and the Saints seemed to have a mojo, and they were on their way. If you take out the non-call, did you feel like the better team won that game?
I did.
You really think the Rams are the better team than the Saints?
I think they're very evenly matched in a lot of ways.
Right.
And here's what I thought happened. I thought Jared Goff started out rough, but he got his rhythm. He got his mojo going. He made some great, tough throws at the end, and credit him because he did not look good from the beginning. I didn't think Drew Brees had one of his better games. I'm not sure that he did enough to help his team win. I really didn't. And I really think that the Saints also needed, and he's amazing, believe me, but he's had better games before.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. I didn't think Drew Brees had a great game either. There were some throws where he just didn't look like he had much authority.
They weren't sharp.
There was not zip. That deep pass to Ted Ginn, which was a game-changing play late in the game that set up the non-call, that pass to Ginn was not a good throw. It was a bit of a lame duck. It just happened to be that Ginn went up and got it. So, yeah, Brees did not look his sharpest in the game. Of course, on the Rams, they had Todd Gurley, who really didn't play like he was healthy. I don't know what his issue was, whether it was health or whether there was a little moment when I thought maybe they just benched him. I mean, he's dropped two passes, one which led to a pick. He hasn't got his head in this game, and they've got a pretty good guy coming off the bench in Anderson. I know you don't bench Todd Gurley. I know he's an MVP guy, but it just looked like he deserved to be on the bench for a moment.
No, he basically sat out the entire third quarter.
Yeah.
I'm calling injury on that, and they don't want that known right now, but he was on the sidelines. He was on a bike. He was stretching. So there's clearly, you know, he's been hampered by a left knee issue for a few weeks now. And as a running back, do you really have time for that to get better during the season? So that's what I think happened with Gurley. You know what I think the Saints needed? They needed a great game from Drew Brees, a Brees-like game. Yep. I don't think they totally got that. And they needed a big game. They needed a Michael Thomas type of game. And he was held to 4 receptions for 33 yards. The receivers were not prolific yesterday. That was tough.
Why, when you say Michael Thomas's name, do your eyes suddenly sparkle and your face turned a little bit red? I mean, Jose, can you speak to this? Do you see that in her? She said Michael Thomas. She said Michael Thomas with a big smile on her face.
Wasn't there a big lunar eclipse last night?
There were two.
One in the stadium, one outside.
Two lunar eclipses.
Huh. Cute booty. We'll give him that.
No, he was, I mean, for those who saw, he got graded highly on his booty.
He did. Yeah, he did.
When I first saw that happen, I thought, oh, I hope Carla's not watching. I mean, you're pristine. I don't want you to see that kind of thing.
I'm a Raider fan. This is nothing. Trust me.
You've seen it all.
I've seen it all.
All right.
I've seen it all.
Well, let's go to the non-call. In my mind, there was no mystery. Should have been a call. It's just devastating. When you think about the number of people impacted by that call. I mean, there are players on that Saints team who will probably not be with the Saints team next year, may not even be in the NFL next year. That was their shot. When you think about the paychecks for the guys who get to go to the Super Bowl, when you think about the legacy of some players and coaches, I mean, Drew Brees, if he gets another Super Bowl win, Sean Payton, if he were to get another Super Bowl win, the nature of the magnitude of that non-call is
it's got a huge ripple effect.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. But, you know, there was also a missed face mask penalty, you know, not soon before that call. So there, I think what the NFL is facing is a reality that referees are human. Humans make errors. So, however, there's incredible technology everywhere we look. So there should be, why couldn't other referees, you know, piped in, and there should have been flags flying everywhere. There were no flags flying.
Well, it is interesting.
No.
I think that for all the eyeballs that saw that, and of course, a national TV audience, this isn't something that happened far away from the ball.
On the sideline away from the play.
Everybody was watching that thing. And I think everybody's reaction was, oh my gosh, that's PI. There it is. And you would have thought somebody, some ref, you didn't have to be the ref of the play, but somebody on the
field. That's what I'm asking.
There should have been more than one flag. I really can't believe that everybody sat there with a flag in their pocket.
Well, and let's add to that, it wasn't just PI. You add a helmet-to-helmet hit. That was not even questionable.
Yeah.
You know, and Roby Coleman himself said it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing about the helmet-to-helmet hit to me is it's been a little bit harder to call that this year, in that sometimes they call it rigorously, sometimes they really don't. But the PI to me seemed like an obvious thing that's a longstanding rule. The defender got to the receiver before the ball did. He precluded the receiver's chance to catch it. And, of course, the defender had his back to the ball. The defender didn't play the ball at all. All they did was play the receiver.
Right. And he talks about that, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just – it's.
But it was a rare admission of guilt for him to say that out loud. Yeah, I did it. I can't believe I got away with it. Usually they just sort of go quiet or they smile and move on. But this was a pretty overt confession.
So do you think this confession on the part of Robey Coleman is going to be what tips Roger Goodell to actually enact that rule where, as a commissioner, it's section 17, blah, 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 whatever, that – he can actually overturn this. In other words, call for another game to be played, take it away from the Rams and give it to the Saints. Do you think
So
Roger Goodell is going to yield the shield? What's it going to be?
I have signed the petition, and I'm ready.
And you think he should?
I don't think this is really coming. But for the fun of the mental exercise, let's walk through this for a minute. I think there is a play where he could say, no, they got to go back to that moment in the game and pick it up from there.
I'm going to back you up to that face mask penalty.
Oh, see, that's one of the problems.
Here's the danger, right?
How far do you go back? What's the moment to do so? That's a legitimate issue. Look, they would never just I saw one argument that they should just replay the whole game from beginning to end, and they would do it this weekend, the off weekend before the Super Bowl, and there is a chance to do that.
The Patriots would love that, by the way.
Patriots, it would be the best thing that could ever happen to the Patriots, right? They'd get to
beat
watch those two
boys.
Teams beat up on each other. Of course,
get
the Players Association, they haven't agreed to another game, and there were players who could get injured. There are all kinds of reasons why you'd never play the game. But just hypothetically, if you could take it back to that spot and eliminate the mistake and redo the last, what it was effectively about a minute and a half of the football game, it's tantalizing. It's really interesting. And, of course, if you're New Orleans Saints fans, it's frothy. You absolutely want that moment. But, no, I don't think it will take place.
It'll be interesting. I mean, it would set a real tough precedent for Roger Goodell to continue.
Well,
if he does that.
Let's talk about it from a precedent. Then any time that
the Tuck rule, you think about Oakland, you know. I mean, come on. It could go back. It would really be a slippery slope to step down. But you know what I do? Here's a positive that I think was cool that happened yesterday in that Saints-Rams game. This changing of the guard, and maybe it's not actually changing, but you look at, you know, the older coach in Sean Payton. He's not old, but he's definitely older than Sean McVay, who turns 33 this week, for goodness sakes. So last week, New Orleans versus Philadelphia. They're down basically two touchdowns in the first quarter. And Sean Payton calls for a fake punt on fourth and short.
Yes.
And gets it.
Yep.
Changes the tide of the whole game, goes on to win. There we go. Well, Sean McVay is no dummy. And he was facing the same situation, down 13 in the first quarter of the, you know, NFC Championship game. Calls a fake punt on fourth and two. And wow, there we go. Hecker did that beautiful throw and it works. And I love that the young coach... It's actually respectful that he's taking a play like that from Sean Payton. I mean, I'm sure Sean Payton's not thinking that's respectful, but I love that gutsiness.
Well, so I think part of the gutsiness is born out of analytics in the game. Going for it on fourth down or doing something different on fourth down as they did, and the impact of sustaining a drive that you would have otherwise turned the ball over on a punt, those are huge pivotal moments, those big plays that change momentum and have that kind of impact. The analytics suggest they're worth taking that risk. The risk reward pays out. But the old school coaches, the legendary coaches, the old Bill Parcells.
Nick Saban even tried it a couple
weeks
ago.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of those guys, they would just never, ever, ever go for it on a fourth and one from the 50-yard line. But I think analytics suggest that's wise. There is a moment to take those chances.
And I think it's a little bit of kismet that it's basically the same score first quarter that the Saints were facing last weekend against Philadelphia, and then they were on the other side of it a week later.
Sure.
Kind of crazy.
You bet. Well, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Cody Stutes. He is our NFL expert, and we're going to get a chance.
And Hall of Fame voter.
And a Hall of Fame voter. And we're going to get his input on, well, not just the games that took place, but also what to look forward to as we see, well, a second matchup between the Rams and the Patriots. They played, of course, in the Super Bowl, which was played in 2002. And they will face each other again in a couple of weeks.
St. Louis Rams.
Cody Stutes coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
Gifting Map is your map for great gifts. Head over to giftingmap.com today. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, welcome back. And joining us here on SB Nation Radio is Cody Stutes. He's a Hall of Fame voter for the NFL. He's also an NFL expert on ESPN 97.5 in Houston, Texas. So, Cody, let's begin. Do we have the top two teams in the NFL playing in the Super Bowl tomorrow or next week?
No, we saw the two best teams playing the AFC Championship. The Chiefs are, you know, the best team, one of the best teams in football, and the Patriots are obviously really good. Now, over the course of a season, like, the records are going to tell us something different. But to me, you watch it, you see who the coaches are, the players, and it's like if we could play one game and you tell me, put the two best teams in one game, what was the AFC Championship? It's the Chiefs, and it's the Patriots.
How did you evaluate Tom Brady's performance yesterday? We noted he had some interception troubles early. Obviously, the second half and the last two drives were outstanding. Overall, what kind of grade do you give him?
I mean, that's classic Tom Brady. I mean, you had to know that this Patriots team, more so than any Patriots team before, people have declared them, you know, done and finished before. And I understand the thought process behind that in the past. And even this year, they lose to the Lions. And people are like, well, this is the year. This is finally the year. And they've looked more vulnerable than they've ever looked. But you had to know it's more likely than not that Tom Brady is going to go and beat you when the ball got back in his hands with that little amount of time. Like, he's either going to beat you, and then you had to know in overtime, if he got the ball back, if he got the ball first, he's not giving you the ball. So you better stop him. You better force a field goal because he's going to get them into scoring position. It just is a matter of if it's going to be a field goal or if it's going to be a touchdown. And it's Tom Brady, so of course it's a touchdown. And, I mean, he's just – it's more and more that he's the greatest of all time. And, like, there's not even a discussion, not even a class. It's Tom Brady, and then Joe Montana's the best of everybody else. And then it's everybody else.
Okay, but I got to ask you, it struck me, I couldn't believe that the Chiefs didn't get more pressure on him and really didn't send a lot of blitz packages at him. I mean, the O-line played great for the Patriots, but where was the Chiefs' pass rush? I mean, they have more sacks than any other front line in the defensive front this year. Where were they? How did the Patriots stop them and keep them out of the backfield?
Dee Ford and Jones from Mississippi State, who's one of the best young defensive linemen in the league, they're just tremendous. And for them to not get anything on Tom Brady, it's an element of that's just the style of offense the Patriots play. They don't give you a lot of big, long dropbacks where you can go and attack them. They run the ball really well, and then Brady does a really good job of just, if there's nothing there, he'll throw it at a guy's feet. Like, you had a couple throws from Tom Brady yesterday, and you're like, ah, that seemed like a really weird play. Like, Brady doesn't usually do that. Okay, well, Brady would rather do that and have an ugly-looking throw at someone's ankles than take a big hit from somebody. He just doesn't like getting hit. He can sustain them, and he'll stick in the pocket and take it if he thinks there's a big payoff. They just get the ball out so fast, they get rid of it, and you just can't get a pass rush on that style of offense.
Well, you know, I look at, you mentioned Jones, who's so impressive. I mean, the guy grazes Tom Brady's shoulder and gets the roughing the passer penalty. That was a joke. I was like, what? And here's what I'm going to ask you, Cody. Is everybody so conditioned to Brady's greatness that that kind of thing can happen?
The Brady roughing the passer comes off of Mahomes and the drive where it looked like Mahomes got hit in the face. And I saw the play happen, and I'm thinking, Mahomes got hit in the helmet. Like, that's a roughing the passer call. They show the replay. Mahomes got hit, like, in the chest and shoulder area. It just looked like it was maybe his helmet. But Mahomes was gesturing the referee right after that. He was saying, you know, the guy hit me in the helmet. Well, then the refs are conditioned naturally. Oh, well, we might have missed that. The QB said he got hit in the helmet. So then anything close to the next helmet hit, that's getting called. So the refs aren't going to miss two. They're going to try not to miss two. So I think Mahomes kind of set that up, put that in the refs' minds. And then you saw it. I could see where the angle you're at.
It was a shoulder pad.
You see it and you think, oh, he had to get hit in the face. You're supposed to see it as an NFL official and throw the flag. But I could see where the angle, maybe it looked like he got hit in the face. That's a bad penalty. I mean, the refs didn't look great this weekend.
Gosh, they didn't.
Yeah.
but the NFL's loving this because we're all talking about it. Good or bad, yeah. We're talking about it.
The recap discussion will carry us basically the whole week, and the referees, and what did the Chiefs do wrong, and what did the Saints do wrong. And then we got a whole week of building up for Rams-Patriots once again.
Can I ask one more question about Patriots-Chiefs? When you look at the two coaches in that game, who do you think did the better job?
Oh, I mean, Belichick and his crew, they always just – whatever your absolute smallest thread that is that you don't want exposed, they expose it. They always find it. I mean, the play today – Peter King wrote this in his article this morning. The play to Gronk that was down the sidelines where, you know, the Brady kind of floated up and Gronk went up and got it, they didn't practice that all week. That wasn't in the game plan all week. And Brady gets there with Belichick and McDaniels, and they say, hey, you know that Gronk play on the sidelines? Let's run that. Mm. And they run that play to Gronk, and it's such a huge play in the game. And it's like they didn't even practice and plan that. That's how good they are. Don't get me wrong, though. Andy Reid, like, this is what Andy Reid does. He gets there. It's not his fault or his team's fault. They got beat by a team that was just better on that day. They got beat. And the overtime rules work against him in that area. But Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are going to be just fine. Like, they're going to be back. Like,
that's what I think.
This is Andy Reid's got Donovan again, but this guy's way better than Donovan, and they're going to be in a lot of AFC championship games.
They do have to shore up that defense, though, because, you know, credit the Patriots. 3 3rd-and-9s in the overtime, and they couldn't be stopped. Oh, my gosh.
Think
that
about
was
this
painful.
Quickly with the Chiefs, 2 years they didn't get a first-round draft pick. As far as impact, Mahomes sat a whole year, so he had no impact. And then this year, they'd given up the first, so no way to improve the defense that way. Andy and company, they find studs, they find players. The GM they have there, Veach, is really good. They're going to get a first-round pick, likely on defense this year, and find an impact player to help them on that element.
All right, we're talking to Cody Stutes, an NFL expert and a voter on the NFL Hall of Fame. Let's shift gears to the Rams and the Saints. I felt like Drew Brees didn't look his best. There were some throws that he just didn't have a lot of zip on them. How would you have evaluated Drew Brees yesterday?
Brees, I thought, did what he could with what he was given.
Yep.
He just doesn't have a ton of talent at the wide receiver spot. His tight ends get hurt in the game, so that's working against him. But he found Kamara a ton. And the overtime play, like, that is so un-Drew Brees to just throw that thing up and take that hit and throw that interception. Like, they got the ball first in overtime, and they blew it. Like, Drew Brees and company, they blew it in overtime. Wasn't his finest moment, but I don't think Sean Payton helped him out a ton either. Like, they should have been blowing the Rams out early, but two field goals early, they settle for it. They couldn't get it done. They're late as far as putting it away. I know they went for the big one, but You gotta put the Rams away, especially
and
after
they had them. They had it to the jugular.
After
the first
they quarter. Clawed back into the game, you gotta put the other team away. And the Saints didn't do that at any turn of the game.
No, that's very true. But Cody, I want to look also at the Rams side, and I've got, and no one's talking about this today, at least what I've heard from all the talking heads. But Greg Zuerlein is my MVP.
That would have been good for a bazillion yards.
All six kicks. You know, four field goals, 2 point afters, you know, not he hit the 48 yarder to tie the game and then hits the 57 yarder in overtime to win it. I mean, he was steely nerved, unbelievable. I just want to give that guy credit. That's his job. And he did it to the nth degree under the hardest circumstances in that, you know, home of the New Orleans Saints. And
so
under,
loud
oh
too.
My gosh, well, I just want to give him props.
The point Cody made that 57-yarder looked like it could have been worth 67 yards if it
oh,
had
no
been.
Doubt.
He had that easily. The leg on that kick
easily.
Was amazing.
Oh, yeah. That's why they call him Legatron. He's like a robot out there. He's a robot kicking machine.
Wow, that was impressive.
And that your take on Todd Gurley?
Todd Gurley didn't play well. He's also not feeling great. Elite athletes, when they're not 100%, and they know they're only like 85%, and sometimes it feels like they mess with their mind a little bit, it takes them – They take themselves out of the game, so to speak. Credit to McVay And credit to the staff for having a Super Bowl winning running back in C.J. Anderson, who went to the Super Bowl and rushed for 100 and something yards when he was there. Credit to having him on the staff. And then to saying Gurley, like, look, if we play you, we're going to lose. We're going to play this guy. Like, that's big, big guts, especially because you've paid Todd Gurley. This isn't like this is rookie Todd Gurley knows he's the guy. Like, this is he's paid. He's highly paid. It's like, you're not good. And credit to Gurley after saying, I was bad. That's why I got benched. I was bad. I wasn't playing well. And, I mean, they've got the right, you know, combination with that running back situation right there.
They really do. And class personified for Todd Gurley, because you're right. He has been, like, setting incredible records all year, looking like the star. And for him to basically be okay with taking himself out and watching. Yeah. I mean, he sat the whole third quarter, basically. Never saw the field, so... pretty crazy there. But I thought it was fascinating, too. And Sean Payton, I think part of the reason he blew it because the Rams never led until the win.
Payton totally blew it. Don't throw the ball there. And if you're going to throw the ball, why are you throwing it to some wide receiver none of us have ever heard of? Throw it to Alvin Kamara. Throw it to Michael Thomas. Or better yet, you've got Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. How about you don't throw the football? Do the smart thing, force them to use all the timeouts, take away all their leverage. Like, you can still try to ice the game and get the first down or get the touchdown by running the football. Again, it's Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. Run the ball. Did the ref blow that? Sure. Should the ball have ever been in the air? No. It's a lot like telling somebody, though, don't fly if you don't want to get in a plane wreck. Like, sometimes you have to fly.
Right.
Like, but he didn't have to throw the football. Like, he chose to, you know, drive a race car in a rainy night. That's what he chose to do to get to the grocery store when he didn't have to do that. You know, that's like my analogy. Like, you could have just ordered in, or you could have just, I don't know, ran the football.
No, it's 2 years in a row now for Payton with the miracle in Minnesota, and then the way the game ended yesterday, it's brutal.
And I get that you're Mr. Go For It. You're the guy that kicked the onside kick in the Super Bowl. Like, yep. I understand that. At some point, common sense and not being – like maximization. You know who loses a lot of money? People who take a lot of risks with money. You know who lose a lot of football games? People who take a lot of risks during the football game.
We're talking to Cody Stutz. He's a voter for the NFL Hall of Fame. So, Cody, let's look ahead. One interesting story I think will come out, of course, is that the last time, well, it may not have been the last time, but Wade Phillips and his defense with the Broncos defeated Tom Brady and that Patriots offense in the AFC Championship game when the Broncos with Peyton Manning went on to win the Super Bowl. What do you see Wade Phillips doing this Super Bowl in the chess match against Tom Brady and the offense of the Patriots?
So the big key factor there is it's going to be neutral site and there's not going to be an effect on weather, because when Wade's done that before, it's been in Denver and it's been nasty, nasty weather. And I know Brady plays well in cold, but Brady doesn't play well in cold on the road very often, and that's where you see except for last night. And so, like, Wade's got his hands full, because this is all out. You know, you can save Gronk and Edelman and some of those older guys. Like, you can save them during the regular season, but this is the playoffs. Gronk's playing every snap unless his leg's falling off. Like, Edelman's out there sacrificing his body, everything all out, all the tricks, everything on the table, and I don't know how Wade's going to get it done, especially when you've got two corners in Tlaib and Peters that just scream that they're the guy that Belichick can exploit, that they're the guy that can, you know, either he can bait him into this situation or maybe one of his players baits him into a personal foul in a key situation. Like, that's what it screams to me, is like, Belichick's going to find those little things and pick at it. And by the way, they just kept Tom Brady clean against one of the best pass rushing teams in the league. Now, don't get me wrong, Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue, it's totally different.
Right.
It's totally different. And they did a good job of getting after Drew Brees, but it's a whole nother 2 weeks for Belichick and company to just game plan and find the way. Like, they had 1 week to get ready for the Chiefs. They kept Brady clean. I have to imagine they're keeping him fairly clean with 2 weeks to get ready for the Rams.
He's Cody Stutz. Cody, thanks so much for joining the Boss and the Gloss here on SB Nation Radio.
Anytime you guys want me on, I'm here.
Awesome.
All right, that's a deal.
He's the best. Appreciate it.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, Carla, you know a little bit more about fashion than certainly Jose or I know.
Don't be so sure.
Well, let me ask you a fashion question.
All right.
The Rams have declared that in the Super Bowl, they're going to wear their throwback jerseys. They're going to go with those bright yellow and the blue, the same jerseys they wore when they last won the Super Bowl in 1999. Do you like the look or do you not like the look?
I go with the – I'm superstitious because I'm a sports fan. So sure. I like it. They beat Dallas in those jerseys. And those were their throwbacks. So I'm all for it.
Jose, you're making a face.
Why'd she have to bring up the fact that they beat Dallas? Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a hit on me.
Hey, back off, you two.
Really?
I'm just calling it like I see it.
You started this thing.
I'm excited about that, too. That's one of my favorite jerseys in the league.
I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. One other tidbit about this game is that Tony Romo will be there, and he has become
the world's favorite
announcer.
Love him.
He's really good.
He is. You feel like you're in a living room with the best sports fan ever. I love his enthusiasm. I love his excitement. Okay, and he's calling plays before they happen. He's amazing. And I was so sad when John Gruden left the booth, except excited when he went to Oakland. But nonetheless, I thought no one can replace, in my heart, John Gruden, and Tony Romo is there. He's the bomb. CBS won the lotto with him.
Well, it's so funny to look how it's all unfolded. I mean, in their careers, of course, Aikman was Aikman. He won 3 Super Bowl titles. Romo struggled in all the postseason matchups. And now here, post-career, I mean, Aikman's just sort of right down the middle of the fairway, very boring. You almost can tell what he's going to say before he says it. And Romo is suddenly the world's greatest announcer. He's that fan alongside you, but he's an authoritative fan, a knowledgeable fan, which really makes him fun to hear.
And he's funny. And you just, I feel like we'd be best friends, me and Tony.
Well, that may happen.
It might happen.
He needs to meet the gloss. Don't you agree,
Jose?
He needs
to watch out.
He'd be overwhelmed by the gloss.
He would be overwhelmed and not in probably a positive way, but that's okay.
All right, we'll be back in 3 minutes. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.